Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. We've all heard the phrase, from rags to riches, right? Is there a better example than slave Joseph being hauled up out of that prison to the Pharaoh's throne room and then elevated to the position of Prime Minister of Egypt all in one day? We looked at that remarkable miracle yesterday. If you've taken some time to think deeply about it, can you see several vital aspects to that story that might have derailed the entire miracle if Joseph had acted differently? What if Joseph had succumbed to the seduction of Mrs. Potiphar? What if Joseph had been an argumentative, irresponsible prisoner? What if Joseph had refused to help the chief cupbearer when he asked for interpretation of his dream? What if Joseph had been impatient during his years in prison and demanded justice for himself and pressed charges against Mrs. Potiphar for framing him? What if Joseph, when standing before the Pharaoh, had pleaded his cause and begged for his freedom rather than focusing on giving God the glory by serving the Pharaoh with integrity? The lesson I've learned here is this. I should always assume God is doing far more than I am aware of to accomplish his larger purposes in my world. And God's involvement of me in what he is doing will always depend on my integrity, my availability, my patience, and my trust in God. Have you seen that in your life, my friends? That leads me to assume I have probably missed out on being included by God in some things God was doing in my world because I was impatient or irresponsible or unreliable or dishonest or prideful or selfish. God probably has passed me over, and God sought and found someone else to bring into what he was doing because I was not usable by God at that time. That means I disqualified myself from being invited by God into what God was doing. Oh my, that's a staggering thought, isn't it? But it's the main storyline of Joseph's story, isn't it? Every time God wanted to do something in Joseph's part of the world, God found Joseph available, trustworthy, reliable, a man of integrity and humility. And can you think of other people in God's grand narrative story for whom that was true? What about Daniel or Esther, for instance? Now, why would God go to all the trouble of strategically placing Joseph in the key roles which he had held in Egypt, especially this role of prime minister? Because God is always working in the present on the foundation of yesterday and in anticipation of tomorrow. And God had given Pharaoh dreams to foresee both agriculture bounty and ravaging famine were coming to Egypt soon. Many lives would be lost unless preparations were made under the leadership of the right God-obeying man. God was preparing Joseph to be that man at that strategic moment in history. So, what might God be doing right now in your part of the world? The remainder of Genesis chapter 41 is the remarkable account of how slave Joseph, newly appointed prime minister and adorned with royal robes and authority, wasted no time in touring Egypt. Joseph developed and implemented a sophisticated, proactive plan to maximize the 7 years of agriculture bounty God had promised in Pharaoh's dreams. Farmers were urged to plant as much seed as they could manage, hiring new workers if needed. Storehouses were built in cities all around Egypt in anticipation of record crops. All of Egypt was educated to maximize the crop yields of those 7 years, storing up as much grain as possible in view of a soon coming famine. It sure seems to me Joseph was working under the inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. Joseph had been a shepherd boy, and then a slave in Potiphar's house, and then several years incarcerated in prison. Certainly, that is not a training program for a prime minister responsible for preparing an entire nation for famine. But with God, nothing is impossible, right? When the famine struck, it was ruthless and widespread, as God had predicted in Pharaoh's dreams. Genesis 41 says, when the famine had spread all over Egypt, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians. For the famine was severe, and all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe everywhere. Genesis 41, verse 56 and 57. And that included Canaan, where Jacob's family lived. Remember them, the brothers who had sold Joseph as a slave and lied to their father Jacob, telling him they thought a wild animal had mauled Joseph to death? As you read through Genesis 42, you'll find Jacob sent his boys to Egypt to buy grain. And by God's sovereignty, on that day, Prime Minister Joseph was overseeing the grain selling in the town Jacob's boys came to, seeking grain to survive the famine. Now pause and watch that unexpected encounter. Those brothers had sold Joseph when he was a 17-year-old teenager. He stood now before them as a 39-year-old prime minister, robed in Egyptian royal robes, with attendants at his side. Of course, the brothers trembled at the sight of this Egyptian official, having not the slightest idea that he might be their brother Joseph. The record says, when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down with their faces to the ground. As soon as Joseph saw them, he recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. Genesis 42. Joseph watched, I'm sure, as the brothers negotiated with the grain seller. What emotions can you imagine rose up inside Joseph? Anger? Resentment? Retaliation? Was there a spiritual battle raging inside Joseph? If Joseph succumbed and lashed out at his brothers, would that potentially unravel everything God had been working on for 30 years? Friends, we never have the full picture of all that's going on at any moment in any situation, do we? There's always more to the story, and that's why it's so important we learn to discern what God is doing and we don't disqualify ourselves by losing our temper or allowing our minds to think wrongly. As you read Genesis 42, you'll be amazed at Joseph's great wisdom in not disclosing his identity, but testing them to see if his brothers had changed their characters from the angry, deceptive men he knew them to be more than 20 years before. Joseph's test covers four chapters and several months of time, and we'll track that tomorrow.